These days, everyone wants to be in the technology business. And while book publishing may have invention and innovation in its DNA, tracing straight back to Gutenberg and the first printing press, publishers and authors and editors have long struggled to keep technology at arm's length. Welcome to Copyright Clearance and his podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The fundamental quarrel for publishing and technology is the struggle between culture and commerce. This left-brain, right-brain dichotomy, says analyst Thad McElroy, explains why the book business continues to fight an uphill battle in the digital revolutionary war. In June, the U.S. federal government's Bureau of Labor Statistics counted up the slaughter on that battlefield, reporting grim job losses for the book business specifically and the media business generally. If publishing has any hope to survive, McElroy says, then executives and editors must better manage to their commerce side while rethinking what place their culture side has in the future of the business. Thad McElroy joins me now from his office in San Francisco. And welcome back to Beyond the Book, Thad.
Oh, Chris, thanks very much. It's good to be chatting with you again.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We'll tell people about your background. Thad McElroy began his career in publishing as a bookseller and over time migrated to work as an electronic publishing analyst, consultant, and author. He blogs at thefutureofpublishing.com and is widely respected as an analyst of the Internet's impact on the full spectrum of publishing sectors. And Thad, the headline that caught our eye was this Bureau of Labor Statistic report looking at the decline, the fall, the crash, if you will, in the media industry jobs figures, and in particular for the book business. And we'll talk a bit about the newspaper business as well. And so just in summary, the book industry jobs fell over a quarter in the last 10 years and by almost a third since the peak years in the 1990s. It's really remarkable to look at the graph on that.
Isn't it? When the stats come through, you think, oh my gosh, you know, that we suspected that some of this was true, but you get a report and from a very credible source, Bureau of Labor Statistics, a government agency that tracks, you know, for an awful long time now, so it's a consistent source data. And when they came out with that report, you know, there it was staring us in the face in a way that was unequivocal. You know, there it is now. We have to bring this into our conversation about what's going on to the book publishing industry.
Right. Well, and the point is, first of all, we have to say that those are people we knew, both of us, Thad.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we knew a lot of those people. But as we'll talk more as we get into this, it's really about the fact that the industry is still around and what's it going to do to try to change all of that. But as bad as things are in the book business, as we said, down by almost a third since the peak years in the 1990s, I suppose we can just be happy we're not in the newspaper business.
Absolutely. And how I was first twigged to this data was in some coverage that I saw in some newspaper blogs. And the newspapers lost 60% of its staff since the peaks in 1990s. So just imagine that. You know, it was 6 out of 10 jobs are gone. 1 in 4 remain. We could, you know, as I say in my blog entry, get some kind of comfort from that. But it's pretty cold comfort indeed.
Indeed it is. And, you know, it certainly isn't, as you say, surprising. The circulation for all the major dailies, of course, and weeklies and everything else has fallen probably even further than that. There is one small bright spot. It's not making up for it, but employment in internet publishing and broadcasting, obviously that's on the rise.
Yes, of course. You know, a lot of the jobs have shifted in that general direction. That's one where you put out a little proviso on the BLS data, because that category, you know, internet publishing is a bit loosey-goosey, as they would say. What do you classify? You know, is a webmaster an internet publisher, that kind of thing? But, you know, clearly, as we know anecdotally, all of us, you know, that any number of jobs within publishing companies have shifted in that direction. But I think the data shows, and I think we know anecdotally, it's not a one-for-one shift. It's not like we, you know, lost one editor and gained, you know, one internet specialized person. We lost five editors and one person came in and they were probably on contract.
Right. And that speaks to the points that you want to make about all of this, sort of looking at the numbers and discerning the why behind it all. Obviously, we might sort of jump up and say, well, that's because revenues are down. Those advertising dollars that the newspapers had, they've fallen off a cliff. In the book business, it's just perhaps it's a combination of piracy and the very low prices that are set for ebooks and so forth. But you see other forces at work, and it's important to talk about them and think about them.
Yeah, let me first pick up on the sort of ratio of revenue to employment. As you say, you know, we all know, as we've read the stories many times about the newspaper industry, that yes, there's been a collapse in circulation, a collapse in revenue from display ads, as well as from even worse in some ways, kind of the classified advertising. So you know, when you say to someone the newspaper industry, you know, employment is off by over half, they go, oh, okay, yes, of course, because, you know, the industry itself is collapsing in so many ways. Book publishing, you look at the data around sales, and again, it has to be, you know, adjusted for inflation, et cetera. But, you know, the way I think of it is more or less dollar for dollar, the industry has been holding its own over the last, let's call it 20 years. You know, it certainly hasn't been anything like the collapse that we saw in periodical publishing. So what does that then say? So we've knocked, you know, between 25 and 33% of the staff out of these companies. And yet, you know, the overall sales are roughly the same. Profitability, you know, it's again kind of hanging in there. So what's happened? I think our sympathy has to go out to our colleagues because fewer people are being asked to do an awful lot more work than they were before. And this then trends into the point, you've got existing staff being asked not only to do more of the traditional work, but these are companies in transformation from, you know, print to digital. And so again, we're not seeing a lot of hiring. We're seeing people being told, okay, now you're in charge of our ebook effort. Okay, you ready? And here now the problem in staffing that we wanted to chat about.
Right, because, this transition from print to digital isn't something, first of all, that happens overnight, and it isn't just, one day we're playing for the Red Sox and the next day we're playing for the Yankees. This is a change of the rules, you know? I mean, it's still three strikes, you're out in baseball, but in the book business and in the media business generally, the shift to digital is changing the rules, and I guess really what that means, and this is tough for some people and an opportunity for others, it means a change in the kinds of people who should be and who will be working at these companies. Talk about that.
Yeah. You know, on the one hand, we think about a simple, obvious position, someone in charge of the ebook department, let's say the ebook production department at a publisher. So where does that person's skill set come from? Well, you know, if they were in charge of physical print production, they can probably make that transfer, without a major retooling. But now we talk about the person who was in charge of promotion and advertising, and what were they doing 15 years ago? You know, they were worried most as to whether they could get a review in the New York Times and whether or not they could, you know, get a booking for Charlie Rose or, you know, in something on NPR. Those things are still part of the job description today, but that's such a decreasing part of the, you know, what the activity that we would call advertising and promotion. What is it now? It's social media first and foremost. Okay, again, we hear a lot about that. I think publishers vastly underestimate the complexity of doing that really well. And as much as they've been underestimating it for the last several years, it's only getting much worse. Looking at what Facebook and Google have done in terms of the domination of how people are accessing the internet via their mobile devices, book publishers are not there. They're no longer, you know, in front of where the readers are most of the time. And knowing how to do that, it isn't easy. There's nothing easy about it. It's extremely complex, and there's a huge amount of competition for people with the skill sets who know how to do some of these essential things. So publishing is having some real challenges trying to get the right skill set into those positions.
Right. And so you've given some interesting thought to all of this, and you've looked at it as an opportunity for publishers to think about who they already have on staff and who they should be looking for to fill these gaps to turn to for the kinds of skills that are necessary just in social media alone. So if I were a manager at a publishing house, where should I be looking for those kinds of people?
I think the first thing any manager should do is stand in front of the mirror themselves. One of the things you and I were corresponding on before this chat was something from The Godfather of all places, where Michael Corleone turns to his stepbrother and says, "You are not a wartime manager at this time of mob warfare." And I think of that as so pertinent to publishing, that too many managers are thinking that because of the relative slowdown of ebook adoption from its initial big flurry, a lot of people are being lulled into a kind of calm and are not treating this as wartime. And you could disagree with me. Maybe you do believe that we're going to have lots of time to continue making those kind of gradual changes, in which case, carry on. But I think managers first have to look within themselves and say, do I have the skills to hire and manage for these kind of positions? And then they have to say, okay, assuming they feel that they can do that because of their core appreciation, let's say, for the digital transformation, then they have to look mostly, of course, to the youngest people, in many cases looking to the people who are coming in out of the Masters of Publishing and equivalent courses, because those are the folks who are, as they say, digital native. And while they may not have as much depth in the publishing industry as the people we have on staff, what they have is a wide open view and very positive and hungry attitude towards moving the industry forward in exciting kinds of ways.
Well, we're speaking right now in Beyond the Book with Thad McElroy, an industry analyst for publishing and media, and he's got some interesting thoughts on what it's going to take to really continue the shift from print to digital. And as we're looking for people to help a company get there, Thad, there's a degree, there's an ideal job candidate. Tell us who that person is in your view, and then talk about the relationship of their background in the classroom with what they're actually going to be doing in the workplace.
Sure. I think for all that this can be complex to try and identify the right kind of staff, there's some really simple things that are clear indicators. And I've been managing around technology for several decades, and certainly was part of it in the first .com time around. And what you saw again and again was people self-identify. They are mostly younger, but not always. And how do they self-identify? You find out that they're taking courses on their own. You see that, you're walking by their cubicle and you see they've, got a book on their desk on introduction to programming or, new trends in social media, what's going on with Facebook. So you see them saying, signaling to you that they're taking the initiative, that they're using their time to try and understand things that they see as the future of publishing. And from there, you can start to move them forward. Now, what exactly are the positions? How exactly do you divide it up? That's a fluid thing as well, because, of course, some of the listeners to your show, Chris, they're not with the Big Five. And a lot of clients I work with say, well, come on, we can't have a full-time social media manager. And I say, I agree with you. No, you obviously can't afford to staff that position full-time. So there's lots of jiggling that has to be done as to where the responsibilities lie. And it becomes a very fluid organization that does indeed bring on more contractors than ever before.
Right. But those contractors or the full-time employees, they ought to know something about this word that you've written a lot about, and that's metadata. So there's an ideal degree, if you will, the Master of Science in Library and Information Science, because in a way, as much as there's an art and a skill to all of this, there's a science behind it.
Well put. Well put. Yeah, I'm sometimes a voice in the wilderness for metadata, and all I think is you folks are going to be coming around on this one pretty soon. What's happened with metadata that's gained throwing publishers off the trail, let's say, or off a real appreciation of what's going on there, is that they think of it as a clerical skill. You know, the title, the author, the ISBN, the pub date, the retail price. There's my metadata. Okay, did that, all done. What they don't think through is that next step, which is, in fact, books are now virtual objects. You know, for all you know, when you go onto Amazon, you see a book there, it might not even exist. All that truly exists at that moment is a listing of that book online for sale. So it is virtual. And how is it expressed virtually? Through metadata. And so the way that books come into being, get out to the public, but most importantly, how the public learns about books and learns to choose one over another is more than anything because of the quality, the verbosity, the skill with which the metadata is created and expressed.
Now, for managers, particularly managers of a certain age, I'll include myself there, who came into the business of writing and publishing long before anybody gave a thought to the digital piece of it. It was there, but it was really just way in the background. It's tough to sort of put yourself in the other individual's shoes to see things from the digital side. Do you have any tips of helping those managers, those editors, those publishers sort of bridge their own personal gap between the culture side that's so important to them and this new digital side, which, of course, is driving the commerce?
Right. Again, it's standing in front of the mirror. If when you think about the changes that are taking place in publishing, it instills fear, versus when you think about the changes in publishing and it instills excitement, now you know whether or not you'd be looking to retire early or whether you should be looking to, go way past 65. For me, this is the most exciting time by far in an industry that's been pretty exciting through, much of my career. So fundamentally, you can lead the horse to water, as they say. And I say no blame to those managers who may be brilliant in terms of editorial, who may understand the physical book retail chain like no one other. And those skills are still important. And if they can, keep focus and still contribute to the organization with that skill set, more power to them. I'm not looking to put anyone out of work. But I think you have to, to say, wow, you have to pick up blogs that you're checking, you're turning to blogs every day, turning to sites like Boing Boing or Recode. And when you turn to those, it's with a sense of anticipation that you're going to learn something new. That's the way to move forward, because you have to be, learning constantly all the time. The last thing I'll say there is a Stanford study years ago said, looking just at high tech, it says that every year a manager loses approximately 20% of their usable knowledge in this digital era. So if you're not replacing a fifth of everything that you know on a year-to-year basis, you're falling behind.
Well, for keeping up, I know we can turn to you, Thad McElroy. We appreciate you joining us and your thoughtful insights here. We've been speaking today on Beyond the Book with Thad McElroy, a publishing analyst who blogs at thefutureofpublishing.com. Thad McElroy, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Book.
Thanks, Chris. I always appreciate it.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center with its subsidiaries Rights Direct in the Netherlands and Ixis in the United Kingdom. CCC is a global leader in content workflow, document delivery, text and data mining, and rights licensing technology. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.
Mm-hmm.